in the Ramananda Samvad, Mahaprabhu asked the question of Ramananda, what is the most unbearable pain or suffering? There he says, Krishna Bhakta Biraha Bina Duk Nahi Dekipar. I know of no other greater suffering than this. And that is separation from the devotee. This is peculiar in that one might expect that he would say separation from Krishna. Right? He says separation from the Krishna Bhakta, the devotee of Krishna. And therein lies the crux of Krishna consciousness, Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that the devotee occupies the superior position. When Srila Guru Maharaj heard in a Vyas Puja address or offering given by Professor Sanyal to Srila Saraswati Thakur, he was saying along the lines of, we only know you, we don't know Krishna, and because of you we have some connection with Krishna. And at first Guru Maharaj was a little taken aback by this type of exclusivity, intensity, fervor, you can say fanaticism. Sometimes Gurudev would say happily to me, remember you said I was a fanatic for Guru Maharaj. He liked that we're fanatics for Srila Guru Maharaj. That's where the word fan comes from. But we're fanatical followers of Guru, Sri Guru. It's interesting if you hear all the things that Srila Saraswati Thakur has said, and if you look through what's given, transcripts of his writings, most often he says Sri Guru. I would be hard pressed to find an instant other than like in the Anubhasya or Amrita Prabhahabhasya, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're talking specifically about Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and how he views them. It's a very candid, personal revelation. But most often, he's talking about Sri Guru, Guru Tattva, and the Guru principle. As once, Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, said in his Vyas Puja address to Saraswati Thakur, when we speak of the fundamental principle of Gurudev, we're speaking of something that is of universal application. And thus there does not arise any question of distinguishing my guru from your guru. He said, there is only one guru who appears in an infinity of forms to instruct you, me, and all others. If that had not come from him, there would immediately be charges of Mayavad or impersonalism or this person doesn't get it, they don't understand. But it came from his lips. He wrote it. The fundamental principle of Gurudev. One guru who appears through an infinity of forms to teach you and me and all others. That's what he said. And it's in line with what Srila Guru Maharaj said, a very broad conception you have to have of guru. Because for the Gaudiyas, ultimately, let me say Rupa Nugalayan, the Guru, Sri Guru, is none other than Srimati Radharani. She is the ultimate expression of Guru, or whom, if you took the Guru principle to its highest level of understanding, interpretation, expression, it comes to her. And Radha Dasyam, serving her holy lotus feet. And Prabhupada mentions in his commentaries in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamritam, the first chapter, which he titled The Spiritual Masters, plural, the first two words being Bande Gurun. I offer my obeisances to the lotus feet of my gurus. No one accuses Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami of infidelity on account of saying guru plural. The spiritual world is the guru plural world, right? Which Guru Maharaj once called the land of gurus, where the soil is guru. What to speak of everything else in gradation above and beyond that. So he said, how can you take a step there except out of service necessity, just as it's offensive to walk on the altar. Said, but when if someone has to put the crown on the deity or the flute in Krishna's hands, they may, with bowed head, folded palms, put a cloth, they may have to take a step upon the altar. That is Srila Guru Maharaj's concept of moving in the upper world. Right. Is reflected in Raghunath Das Goswami's Bilapa Kusamanjali. Sakaya mama namostu namostu nitam dasaya te mama rasastu rasastu satyam sakaya me mama namostu namostu nityam. Use the word dasya, meaning servants. And sakaya, you can take here to mean intimacy. And he's saying, my focus is upon service. And without the shelter of a superior servitor, what would I be doing in a confidential zone? Right? Neophytes voyeuristically envision themselves as super servitors in the intimate zone. That's why they're disqualified. Those who are actually qualified, the Prayojan Tattva charge in the Gaudiya line, Raghunath Das Goswami saying, why would I be there? What would I be doing there if I was not under the care, guidance, shelter of a superior servitor? This is all thematically consistent. There's a connecting Chinmoy thread throughout. Sakshad Haritenasamasta Shastri Tastata Bhavyati Vasadi Kintu Praboya Priya Vatasya Bande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Why in these songs are they saying, but you know, why doesn't he mention his guru's name? Does Vishwanath know how to glorify Guru? Does Narottam know how to glorify Guru? Does Bhaktivinoda Thakur know how to glorify Guru? Are they faithful servants of their Guru? Bande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. You say, but in the beginning, what is my conception? Krishna as Guru. Acharya mam vijaniyan navamanyeta karjat. But kintu prabhu, but upon closer scrutiny, going in that direction, being observant, siddhantically, ontologically observant, a shift will take place. Then we see who is guru, but prabhu priya. Prabhu means the Lord. Prabhu priya, the one who is most dear to the Lord. So everybody just saying, yeah, my guru is most dear to Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale. and as given by Srila Govinda Maharaj. Swami Sri Bhaktivedanta Prabhupadaya Te Namaha. Right? But if we follow that thread and go deeper, further, find where does it lead to ultimately? Radha Dasyam. Of all those who are dear to Krishna, no one is more dear to Krishna than Srimati Radharani. So Prabhupada will say in his purport, in the Gaudiya line, the proper way to view Guru is either as the representative of Nityananda, the general representation of Guru Tattva, or he says one of the, he doesn't even say Radharani, he says one of her confidential associates, like Lalita Vishaka, Rupa Rati, Rupanuga. So when Sanyal put such emphasis upon Srila Saraswati Thakur, to not only the exclusion of others, but the exclusion, in a sense, of Krishna, Guru Maharaj was somewhat shocked at the time. He said, because I was thinking that you're told, Adau Gurvashraya, as Rupa Goswami says in the beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the first principle is to take shelter of Guru. The first principle and the last principle. It's not just for the beginners. It's the beginning, middle, and end. Take shelter of Guru. He said, but I was thinking, someday, my heart's inner hankering for direct connection with Krishna will be satisfied. He said, but in time, I came to understand and realize the Vaishnava is everything. And this contradicts conventional or rational thought. Because we generally think if there's any sort of mediator, that to a certain degree, it implies opacity. Right? So there's the object, the subject, the object of our search or aspiration. And we think anything coming between me and that is an obstacle. Or what Guru Maharaj says, opacity. But we see in the case of the lens, the opposite effect. Normally you put something in front of the eyes, it creates opacity. But if what you put before the eye is a lens, not only does it not create opacity, but what was far away or not even visible becomes clear and present. So, and I was reminded of when I was a child and one of my friends, his elder brother, got a high-powered telescope. And they said, like, come over to our house tonight. We're going to look at Saturn. And I just thought, that's not possible. But they're saying this as though it's real and a possibility, and it's not some kind of a joke. So to whatever degree that I was skeptical, I went. Then we consulted a star map and then started moving the telescope and aiming it in a particular direction, and then fine-tuning the optics. And it looked through, and lo and behold, it was definitely Saturn. You could see the rings of Saturn. Very small, like a marble, but not, it was Saturn. And I was astonished. You know, take away the telescope, look in the sky. Unless you're trained, you can't really tell one star from another, or a planet from a star. But with this telescope and consulting the map, then we see clear, right? So the lens does not create opacity, but brings into clear view and focus, up close and personal, what was either invisible or abstract or remote. It's something like that. The agent, the asraya vigraha, guru, is more important than Krishna in this sense. Because Krishna, for the most part, is abstract and, unfortunately for some, seemingly impersonal. But through guru, we get a personal glimpse of the sweet absolute. Right? And that's what Sanyal was alluding to. And it's ontologically, siddhantically consistent that really maximum Krishna is given by Radharani. Therefore, one of her names is Krishnamoyi. In other words, no one is more full of Krishna than her. And you say, well, what about Krishna himself? What is your capacity to directly interact with Krishna? Right? It's just like Guru Maharaj sometimes gives the example of the sun. It's 150 million kilometers away. And we're right here, and it's warm, and it's going to be hot. Do the math. So you can understand. Try to go toward that sun. You're going to disintegrate long before you get there. When we were children, we were told in the school about how they make steel. And I'm not a metallurgist, but as I recall, they're putting iron ore in a smelter. And sometimes that crucible, it has various names. And then the question, and then you see the melted iron ore in there, and then they pour it out, and then the cooling process and all of that. And in the end, some guy's pounding it, making a samurai sword. Or a skyscraper. But all the hands go up and the people will say, how come the pot doesn't melt? Right? The steel's melt, but like, why doesn't the pot melt? And the answer was invariably, because it's made of harder stuff. So what melts other things does not melt that. In a similar way, Krishna is inconceivably beautiful. Not just hot and full of light like the sun, but the comparison would be like beauty, charm, sweetness of sun-like magnitude. That's what you can't tolerate. Like, you can't handle the truth. You can't handle the absolute truth. Think, why? It's because it's very complicated? No, he's that beautiful. Kandar pakoti kamaniya vishesha shobham. 10 million cupid magnitude seductive capacity. Okay. Beauty. So it's like we see in this world, that someone is described as painfully beautiful. Like people, they're looking, it's like, painfully beautiful, they can't look away. That's a person in this world. Then Krishna, just for to send us in the right direction, 10 million cupid level of beauty, charm, seduction, seductive prowess, and sweetness. That we cannot, it's not that Krishna's scary or, going to hurt us, or these are all foolish things. So, now to properly perceive him, you need the lens. The lens is what brings him near. And not only in this case, literally. So not to just, he remains far away and you're getting a glimpse. No, he comes through the lens to you to touch you personally. That's the grace of Sri Guru. Right. So, Guru Maharaj came to understand these things in time, the primacy of the position, Srimati Radharani and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right. So, Srila Prabhupada sometimes would express these things very simply, saying, you know, like, without Radharani by his side, Krishna's not so beautiful. It's a manner of speaking. He's inconceivably beautiful, but what they're saying is, when next to her, his the full expression of the beauty, charm, and sweetness of Krishna comes out. Only in her association, the ultimate conception of Sri Guru. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Sri Barsha Bhanavi Devi Doitaya, Doita Das. And like Gurudev gave this name in the Seva Kunj and Govardhan. Barsha Bhanavi Devi means Radharani, who's very dear to her. He has this exclusive focus upon her, right? That he infused, imbued into all of his disciples. And how it fidelity to that conception manifests ultimately in accepting service. She's conducting all service to Krishna. The only real service to Krishna comes down from her through the disciplic line into this world. Everything else is a fantasy or wishful thinking. Has to actually come down from her in the hierarchy, through the hierarchy of servitors. So Srila Prabhupada, we know that in one sense was fated to do all these things, because we believe that he descended in this world for this specific service. And we see even in his childhood, his not just observing Krishna conscious celebrations, but we're told like with regard to the Rath Yatra, he has his own chariot. You know, a good, like we saw the kids in the Dum Dum Park neighborhood. Sometimes they have one that's this big and they're pulling it. I saw this girl, she's like pulling, the mom's on the side and they're going, you know. And I went, Jai Jagannath. And they're like, they go, stop, you know, stops the chariot, lifts up the back of the chariot. There's like, you know, little prasadam, they understand, like, you know. And they would go to our temple, then go around the deity, and then go back home. But we see Prabhupada's father, his chariot was like a larger size one, and he's engaging the other children, right? Like, you'll play the mridanga, you'll do the puja, you'll do the prasadam distribution. So he's doing that his whole life. Right? Sometimes people think he started preaching in 1965. That's not the case. That's the extraordinary, sprint of the last 10 years of his life. But his preaching, more or less, beginning, middle, and end, to anyone who will listen, to anyone who come under his influence and allow, and then engage them in some sort of seva. But we hear in 1922, some friend of his insisted that he go in here on a rooftop in Calcutta, Saraswati Thakur give a talk. And Prabhupada was very honest, and he said, he was very impressed, but he said at the time, he once described himself as a young man in khadi, which means the cloth made from the handmade cloth, which is a way of saying he was a member of Gandhi's movement. So he said he argued with Saraswati Thakur in favor of Indian independence, saying, first let us become independent, then we'll promote Mahaprabhu's creed. Then he said, but my Guru Maharaj defeated me. He said, it was natural defeat. Because Prabhupada was saying, if we're not independent, who will listen to us? But Saraswati Thakur dismissed this independence movement, saying, now, come, dedicate yourself now. You're an intelligent young man. You preach this creed of Mahaprabhu, Krishna consciousness in the Western world, particularly English-speaking countries. Because they were all, think, why that? Because England was in ascendance at that time, and they were, and also even Srila Govinda Maharaj would say that he used to be an Englishman because he was born when England was still in control of India. So he'd say, I was also a citizen, you know. Because that was, he was born in 1929. They didn't achieve independence till 1947. So anyway, but Saraswati Thakur convinced him otherwise. But that was 1922. Still, he's a young man, has a pharmacy, he's an inventor, he's creating different things, toothpaste, a liniment, different things like that. And he thought if there was a way you could inject ghee, that would be a miraculous discovery and patent that he was working on. Injectable ghee. But he's back in his pharmacy. Sometimes Indira Gandhi is coming as a girl, teenage girl. He was so familiar with her. He called her by her pet name, Indu. Later, when she was the prime minister and he needed to meet with her about something, she was, because he called her Indu and recalled back to that time when she would come to his pharmacy to fill prescriptions, she was embarrassed and said, you don't have to come personally. You can send one of your devotees. You know, so much respect she was showing. But back in the pharmacy, in the midst of work, sometimes he would stop for a moment and in his mind's eye think, I met such a wonderful sadhu. And he gave me this order. You're an intelligent young man. Preach Krishna consciousness in the English-speaking country. And then he would go on with his work. And so in 1933, he got initiated. And Grihastha, house programs. And if you want to think of one of these house programs, you can imagine, arranged by Swami Maharaj Prabhupada. Guru Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj, Madhava Maharaj, sometimes Ban Maharaj, they're the group who shows up to conduct the program. Madhava Maharaj singing, Swami Maharaj playing the drum, Guru Maharaj gives the lecture, and then he said, and Goswami Maharaj would collect. So, what a group. Because he said one time his father heard something going on and he thought, Gaur Mohan Day, these Ramakrishna people, they're so annoying. And then, but then he heard like the talk of, you know, it was actually Pradeep Tirthamaraj, like Bhagwat Slokas, Gaudiya Siddhanta, and then he like came down and like expressed his appreciation. 1944, starts Back to Godhead magazine. Right. And 47, Srila Govinda Maharaj comes to Srila Guru Maharaj and he puts him more or less under care of Srila Swami Raj in Calcutta. Guru Maharaj is in Navadvip. So when he's there, he's distributing Back to Godhead magazines. There's a place, number 6, Sitakant Banerjee Lane, where they're like, it's Swami Raj's place, he's got his pharmacy, but he gives one room for like the Mott, Chaitanya Saraswat Mott, like Calcutta branch. And Srila Govinda Maharaj, he's Gorindu Brahmachari, he's going out collecting. We know he said he would eat breakfast with Swami Raj. Swami Raj would teach him Bhagavad Gita and other things. Just as an indication of their kind of sweet interaction, love and affection, he'd say, like, because we know from first-hand experience, Prabhupada, Swami Raj, he liked like puris and aludum kind of breakfast. And Govinda Maharaj is a moody man. So, but Swami Raj is trying to tie him, like, Gorindu, like, have some puris and some sabji. He said, no, I'm happily eating moody. And Swami Maharaj is saying, that is simply cheating the stomach. So, love and affection is, you could say, like, this, what he wanted from his sons, he found in Srila Govinda Maharaj, that type of Vaishnava. So they're intimately related. By around 55, well, we know in the 40s also that his sister, Bhavatarini Didi, affectionately known as Pishima, she wanted to take initiation from Guru Maharaj. At the time, he's not initiating. He sent her to Goswami Maharaj. And she used to complain because she'd make all these wonderful preparations. Every Vaishnava and Guru, they have their different way of approaching this. So perhaps to check the enjoying tendency, she would offer all these things to Goswami Maharaj, who would then promptly mix them all together. And that's how he would take the prasadam. And she'd go like, oh, Baba. You know, like, but that was his way. Anyway, she arranged for the publication of the Prapanna Jivanamritam, the first edition. And she would see in her brother his disinterestedness in family life, and a wife, few children, and you have to make the arrangements. With Vaishnava Maharaj, Shrutasrava Prabhu, we heard Prabhupada on the roof of Bombay say once, like, I made some arrangements for, you know, my daughters, sons to get married. My wife did not approve. Said, therefore, I said, let them all go to hell. Like, I've done what, you know, I'm trying to act responsibly, but up to a point. There are more important things in life. And his sister said, Prabhu, you're meant for preaching. What a wonderful sister. She said, we'll take care of these other things. You just go to Vrindavan, like a Patta Pradarshak Guru. In 55, he enters like Vanaprastha, goes to Vrindavan. He's always writing, always meaning translating, composing original things, arranging programs. Again, he didn't start preaching in 1965. If you see back to that time, you'll see invitations he sent out to people for the Janmashtami festival, like devotees do. To big men, trying to get them to come and fund some temple or preaching activities. But you could say his focus is becoming more and more exclusive. So that he gets the inspiration to take sannyas. Once said that his Guru Maharaj kept appearing to him in a dream, saying, come out, indicating come out of family life and take sannyas. And Prabhupada, at the time, joking, he said, and I thought, oh, how horrible. And just to clarify, he was not saying how horrible, but how horrible. But laughing while saying that. That later in Vrindavan he wrote, now that I'm in Vrindavan and I no longer have any money, no family members are bothering me. And all that remains of my family life is a long list of names. he was like laughing. And he said it once, he wrote Guru Maharaj a postcard saying, I am totally disgusted with human civilization. This was from Vrindavan. He said, rather, I think the animals are more friendly to me. And he made many observations about what he saw in Vrindavan. He saw many things there. I'm not going to go into that right now. Besides all the divine things, the non-divine things that he observed there, he saw firsthand. But it did not distract him, dissuade him, or discourage him from pursuing the order of Srila Saraswati Thakur. And he said, in reading Vishwanath's commentary on the sloka Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana, about the kind of resolute determination that's required in Krishna consciousness and to make progress, said his epiphany was that your only reason in life for living is to fulfill the order of Guru. And it's easy to say that, but he lived that, personified that. I'm telling his story. No one can question to the degree that he realized this. When it comes to realizing the order of Guru, he stands supreme in this regard. To utterly dedicate himself 24 hours a day, exclusively, singular focus, then satisfying the order of Srila Saraswati Thakur. And interestingly, Das Goswami, Ashavare Amrita Sindhu Mai Katanchit, my only aspiration is the service of your holy lotus feet. It's there. So, and in his prayer to the lotus feet of Krishna, where Guru Maharaj interprets him as saying, in an appealing way to Krishna, my guru, who is Radharani, Saraswati Thakur is her surrogate, delegate, has given me this order. What is it? Spread Krishna consciousness, go to the English-speaking country, etc. But he's here saying, in a higher sense, in the upper realm, it's a order from Radharani. So, my dear Krishna, if you will help me, then as a consequence, Radharani will become pleased with you and you'll get her association. And I know you want that, so help me. So in a very heartfelt, appealing way, he's enlisting Krishna in that service. Like Arjuna, all you need is Krishna. Right? Then you'll be successful. Who would ever think, like you're saying, I wonder what there's a Krishna. This can't be imitated. Came from his heart. Why can it not be imitated? Because there in Vrindavan, typing his manuscripts on the back of used paper, I've seen it firsthand. He's wonder, why are all these mundane documents that have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness? Then you turn the other side, there's the Bhagavatam or Charitamritam. Because that paper is cheaper. He couldn't afford to buy paper that's never been used. And he's also frugal. He doesn't waste money. So that's the paper that his Bhagavatam is written on. It's amazing. So Guru Maharaj is saying, he wholly emptied himself of any desire other than the order of Sri Guru, Srila Saraswati Thakur, the surrogate delegate of Srimati Radharani. Wholly emptying himself means, then what? As I told, superconductors of negativity. When humility reaches absolute zero, then that's the maximum draw of attraction of the supreme positive. And what does Guru Maharaj say? Shaktivesh empowerment, that degree. And with more specificity, of Nityananda, which seems ontologically appropriate. So this is the details of what it means, you know, Krishna Shakti Bina Nahe Tara Pravartan, to be empowered to spread Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada entered America, in his own words, as an insignificant beggar, is how he signed the poem Markine Bhagavata Dharma, preaching Bhagavat Dharma in America, saying that, you know, Krishna, you must have brought me here for a purpose. So offering something like a puppet. If you've brought me here to dance, make me dance, make me dance, make me, oh Lord, make me dance. Sign, the insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, you know, Bhaktivedanta. So, with the greatest humility, he approached this. But would sometimes say, you know, I blindly follow the order of my Guru Maharaj, and I'm getting these astonishing results. So the nature of Krishna Leela is such, it's always a cliffhanger, there's always intense drama, it always goes way beyond what you would think is necessary to plunge the heart as in separation. That's where the heart achieves its greatest depth. When it feels that everything else is a failure, you've been abandoned, you know. He's actually having preached in America for a year. He's actually contemplating going back to India. And then he meets a devotee who leads him to others who become devotees. And really the worldwide Krishna consciousness movement and its Western manifestation starts in earnest just when he's that close to going back to India. Right? And what happens is astonishing, the spread of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness all over the world, the printing and distribution of hundreds of millions of books, and I believe that it culminated in Krishna's gift and tribute to Srila Prabhupada and the Rath Yatra of 1976. Because Srila Guru Maharaj, he once said that, you know, what do we learn from the Prahlad Maharaj pastimes, that, you know, if you take to Krishna consciousness, you can expect a life of trouble. You know, like from your family, his father's trying to kill him. Because we think like, oh, you don't know my situation. Read about Prahlad, what he had to tolerate and undergo. And it's the same thing, you know, Pandavas, like all Yudhisthira telling Narada, oh, anyone hears about our pastimes, they'll think being a devotee means a life of trouble. And Narada saying, no, what we learn from you is that when the devotees are in trouble, Krishna will save them. So Guru Maharaj said, don't expect that if you decide to pursue Krishna consciousness, that they're going to have a parade in your honor, like in your hometown. Like Gurudev, he was once given the key to the city. Where is that, Mexico? Veracruz. They're going to give you the key to the city, have a parade. And we just want to say thank you on behalf of all the citizens. You know, rather, they'll think you've lost your mind, you've joined a cult, you're misled, you're having a breakdown, you know, whatever it might be. And so that's generally true. So against the current of the world, you have to go. And feeling some inspiration, we take the risk to do that, the proverbial leap of faith. Faith in the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Vaishnava. But I find so many things can be said about Srila Prabhupada, but we look for like new things or fresh things, observations. And I thought, in his case, there was a parade celebrating his Krishna consciousness. And his success. And in his own words, before this parade took place, it was the Rath Yatra in New York in 1976, and Prabhupada was a master of PR. He was a master of everything, but like, including PR. He knew, because these American reporters would come, he knew like how to give them a money quote or the sound bite that they're looking for. So they're all sitting there. He got his glass scraper, skyscraper. When the devotees, they always want to build a Vedic temple, right? And here we got like we settled on like South Asia, a little Vedic, a little Bauhaus. You know, we're like we have different things. A little Cambodia, a little bit of this. That, you know, like we're trying to be sensitive to the local area. And it seems like the temple is actually expressing itself. But usually the devotees, they want to build like, an authentic Vedic temple. And don't get me wrong, that's a good thing. But I always found it interesting. When they asked Prabhupada, what did he want? He wanted a glass skyscraper that said ISKCON on it. Pardon me? Skyscraper, you know. But like ISKCON, an international, that's what he wanted. Like we've all seen, the glass building. That's what he wanted. He didn't want to build the Vedic temple. And, you know, he wanted a glass skyscraper. Said ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And what he got was, you know, close enough. A building in the middle of Manhattan, which means New York City proper. He got that. And on, I forget which floor it was, there was this kind of like veranda, balcony, mezzanine. He's there and all these reporters come for the upcoming festival. This means the heart, you know, what you conceive of in your imagination as New York, that's Manhattan. And this is in Midtown Manhattan. And he's there. He couldn't be more pleased. And there, and to supply the sound bite, the money quote, he said, you know, and to simultaneously knows how to flatter the egos of the people where he is. He's in America, so he said, America is the most important country in the world. New York City is the most important city in America. Fifth Avenue is the most important street in New York City. On that street, we're having our festival. You know, and they're like, America, New York, you know, Fifth Avenue, you know. They all, right? That's how you promote things. And lo and behold, on Fifth Avenue, the most important street and the most important city, etc., they're lined, and it's all approved, permitted, so-called New York's finest, all these policemen dressed in their blue They're like nice uniforms. They're lining the streets. And coming down the street, Jagannath Subhadra Balabhadra, the Rath Yatra chariots, and full size, very large chariots with very large deities. And Prabhupada would always ride on Subhadra's chariot. Now, he would say this is all like to glorify Krishna, Jagannath, etc. And the devotees doing kirtan and to the astonishment of all the onlookers. But what we can see in retrospect, it was a parade for him that Krishna put him on a chariot. And really us, and the name, because Krishna prefers that his devotee is in the primary position and that he's in the secondary position. So if it has to be, it's Rath Yatra, Jagannath Rath, then it is. But you can't help but notice that Srila Prabhupada, he's on this chariot and in a sense, like as a conqueror, that devotion conquers all. It's Krishna's gift to him that who came there with less than $10 in his pocket, that when he's on his way out, he's riding a chariot on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan in New York is inconceivable, actually. And a year later, he leaves the world. So I see Krishna, that was his gift to him and to celebrate his devotion. So, and Srila Govinda Maharaj would say even 20, 30 years later, as he went around the world, as he said, being met with garlands and tears, that he said, we're still taking Swami Maharaj's prasad. Like whatever he did then, this is like the aftermath of all of that. Really, all the credit goes to him, and it still does. And that we're here so many years later, and as Guru Maharaj would say, you know, drawn by affection's force and remembrance of him, that we hope he would be pleased with the attempts of all the devotees here to extend the Krishna consciousness movement to others. That's what he liked the most, that every man, woman, and child in the Krishna consciousness movement is a preacher. Not that we just have designated preachers. Everybody shall, according to what they've appreciated, turn to another and extend Krishna conception to them. So, today is the disappearance, but I've always struggled with how these days, but realize that, yes, even that the Krishna Bhakta Viraha, the separation from the devotee, that pulls the heart in their direction. And in that sense, we can perceive any sort of favorable aspect to this, that by divine remembrance and that pull upon the heart to go toward their zone, the divine zone, where sometimes when Guru Maharaj is speaking, he said, oh, perhaps our Guru Maharaj, your Guru Maharaj, they're looking it down upon this transaction happily. So in the guru zone, in the guru world, where they are, you know, happily, the Rupa Nuga line, and they're in that place presided over by Kamala Manjari, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they're all there and happily observing and giving inspiration to the present day members of the Krishna consciousness movement to continue its expansion. That would make him most happy. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada Tirubhav Mahamahotavatiti Ki Jai.